Chapter 10. Further Students of Menger and Other Supporters. With only a few exceptions, the old Austrian school was made up of members who had studied under Karl Menger directly. Eugen von Böhm-Barberg and Friedrich von Wiese received their Habilitation from Menger, although they had not studied under him. Hermann von Schulern zu Schattenhofen studied under Böhm-Barberg and received his Habilitation from him. Having independently arrived at an understanding of value theory and methodology similar to Menger's, Emil Sachs was the only one already to have had teaching qualifications. In his retirement application to the Ministry for Education in 1903, Menger listed all the postdoctoral students he had supervised. The only one missing was Gustav Gross. Robert Meyer, 1855-1914, Habilitation in 1884. After studying law in Vienna and Berlin, the native Viennese pursued an exemplary career as a civil servant in finance administration, where he reached the position of Sektionschef, that is, head of directorate, the highest civil service rank within an Austrian ministry. In 1910, he was made president of the Statische Zentralkommission, Central Commission for Statistics, and for a short time, finance minister. After that, he went into retirement. A year later, he was again asked to be president of the Statische Zentralkommission and retained this office until his death. As an expert on finance, whose teaching qualification was extended in 1887 to include political economy, Robert Meyer lectured at the University of Vienna and at other Viennese educational institutions. In his Habilitation treatise, the subjectivist value theoretician justified progressive taxation, which he, as a senior civil servant, and along with Böhm-Barbeck, was actually able to implement during the reform of direct personal taxation. From 1911 onward, he served as co-publisher of the journal Zeitschrift für Volkswirtschaft, Sozialpolitik und Verwaltung, Journal of Economics, Social Policy and Administration. He was a champion of full-blown statism on social and economic policy matters. Gustav Gross, 1856-1935, Habilitation 1884. Originally from Reichenberg, today Liberec, Czech Republic, Gustav Gross was the son of a railway director. After studying law in Vienna and Berlin and working at the governorship of Lower Austria, he received his Habilitation with a thesis on economist Johann Heinrich von Thünen, 1783-1850. Gross, who published a treatise on business profits and the first academic biography of Karl Marx, among other things, devoted himself primarily in later years to social and taxation questions. From 1889 onward, he was a representative of the Deutsche Fortschrittspartei, literally German Progressive Party. Gross, who considered himself part of a tradition established by Albert Friedrich Eberhard Schaeffler and Adolf Wagner, was not mentioned in the list of Habilitation students Menger compiled when he became a professor emeritus. In what he called the public sector, Gemeinwirtschaft, of the state economy, Gross saw laws at work that differed fundamentally from those in the private sector, and he supported Wagner's thesis concerning the steady expansion of the state's functions, which were, in his view, limited only by the family in the long term. What Richard S. Howey otherwise wrongly said of the less well-known Austrians, namely that they hardly wrote anything or nothing at all about the theory of marginal utility, applies to Gross. Gross taught as an unsalaried lecturer at the University of Vienna until 1897, and finally as an untenured professor. He was elected the last president of the monarchy's House of Representatives, when the war economy had fully expanded into central bureaucratic planning, to at the end of the First World War. Eugen Philippowitz von Philipsberg, 1858-1917, Habilitation 1884. The descendant of an Austro-Bosnian family of officers, Philippowitz grew up with only one parent still living, graduated from the Theresianum Academy, and studied law in Vienna. After periods of study in Berlin and London, he received his Habilitation for research on the Bank of England. After a non-tenured and later a tenured professorship at the University of Freiburg, Philippowitz, who was only 35 years old at the time, was offered a position in Vienna. He was aligned to the historical ethical school on economic policy, having already strongly oriented himself toward Menger's ideas on methodological and value-theoretical questions during his time in Freiburg. In 1896, as a member of the Viennese Fabian Society, a circle of those advocating ambitious social policy aims, he became a co-founder of the Sozialpolitische Partei, socio-political party. He served for one term as one of its four representatives in the Niederösterreichische Landtag, the regional parliament of Lower Austria, of which the city of Vienna was a part. A subtle academic, he was not apt at defending himself against the polemics and rude attacks of his political opponents. In 1905, Filipowicz became president of the University of Vienna. In 1909, he became a member of the Herrenhaus, the House of Lords of the Austro-Hungarian monarchy. Correspondingly important was his role as promoter of the Austrian school, which he actively advanced with his successful textbook Grundriss der politischen Ökonomie, 1893, Compendium of Political Economy. For many years he acted as chairman of the Gesellschaft der österreichischen Volkswirte, and from 1904 to 1917 he was co-publisher of the journal Zeitschrift für Volkswirtschaft, Sozialpolitik und Verwaltung, Journal of Economics, Social Policy and Administration. Victor Mataja, 1857-1934, Habilitation 1884. After a commercial apprenticeship and law studies in Vienna, Mataja, who was working for the Vienna Chamber of Commerce at the time, received the Habilitation for a thesis on ground rent and business profits. Among his diverse publications, one work in particular stands out, his trailblazing Recht des Schadenersatzes vom Standpunkt der Nationalökonomie, 1889, Indemnity Rights from the Viewpoint of Economics, which prepared the way for the modern economic analysis of law on the basis of the theory of marginal utility. In 1890, Mataja became an untenured, and 2 years later, as Böhm Bawerk's successor, a tenured professor at the University of Innsbruck. Later that same year, however, he returned to Vienna to establish a department for trade statistics and labor statistics in the Ministry for Trade. In later years, he was one of the first in the German-speaking world to deal with the nature of advertising, and with Die Reklame, 1910-1926, advertising, created the seminal document of the modern science of advertising. Toward the end of his life, he published a textbook for economic policy, Lehrbuch für Volkswirtschaftspolitik, 1931, Textbook of Economic Policy, which included some of his own contributions. Mataja was a bureaucrat through and through. He was first a head of directorate, twice a minister of trade, 1909 and 1911, and finally president of the Staatliche Zentralkommission, from 1914 to 1917 and from 1919 to 1922. By the end of the war, he had served in turn as Minister of Trade, Minister Without Portfolio, and Minister for Social Welfare, the first in an industrialized European nation. His statistical work made this versatile and original thinker a valued partner for representatives of employers and employees. The Third Camp appreciated his German-Austrian centralism. Of all things, it was thus that a representative of the Austrian school created the core of what would later become industrial relations. Mataja's career enriched us with the remarkable insight that welfare and warfare can easily derive from the same doctrine of the state. Robert Zuckerkandel, 1856-1926, Habilitation 1886. The son of a Jewish family from Győr, Rab, Hungary, Robert Zuckerkandel received his Habilitation from Karl Menger after finishing his law degree. Prior to his accreditation as Hof- und Gerichtsadvokat in Vienna, he published Zur Theorie des Preises, 1889, on the theory of price, his only monograph on doctrinal history. A Hof- und Gerichtsadvokat is a trained lawyer who is admitted to the bar, as well as legitimated to act for his clients with the governmental authorities and the imperial court. In 1894, he became Emil Sachs's successor as an untenured professor alongside Friedrich von Wiese at the Deutsche Universität Prag, and received his tenured professorship in 1896. Zuckerkandel's teachings, his main work, and other published articles contributed significantly to the dissemination of Austrian school ideas. Johann von Komodzinski, 1843-1911, Habilitation, 1890. At the age of 26, Johann von Komodzinski was reputedly only unable to accept an appointment at the University of Vienna because of external circumstances. After working successfully as a Hof- und Gerichtsadvokat for over 20 years, Komodzinski became the founder and president of the Wiener Advokatenklub, Viennese Lawyers Club. He received his Habilitation for a paper on value theory, linking it to an earlier effort on the same subject. In his later works, he resolutely opposed von Thünen's wage theory and Marx in particular. The Nationalökonomische Lehre vom Kredit, 1903, The Doctrine of Credit in Political Economy, which he published in the last decade of his life, was rejected by the Austrian school as it was incompatible with Wieser's imputation theory and Böhm-Bawerk's theory of interest. Hermann von Schulern zu Schattenhofen, 1861-1931, Habilitation, 1889, 1892, 1895. In 1889, after having practiced law, Hermann von Schulern zu Schattenhofen, a born Tyrolese, received the Venia Legendi to teach economics at Innsbruck. A successful Habilitation requires that the candidate be officially given the Venia Legendi, Latin for permission for lecturing, or the Ius Docendi, right of teaching, a specific academic subject at universities for a lifetime. In 1892, this permission was carried over to the University of Vienna, where in 1895 it was extended to the teaching of all aspects of political economy. He subsequently worked in the Statische Zentralkommission, Central Commission for Statistics in Vienna, and in 1899 held professorships for economics at the Technische Hochschule, University of Technology, the Hochschule für Bodenkultur, today University of Natural Resources and Life Sciences, and from 1915 on at the University of Innsbruck. From 1903 to 1905, he held the office of president at the Hochschule für Bodenkultur in Vienna, and from 1922 to 1925 that of president at the University of Innsbruck. In later years, Schulern zu Schattenhofen, who in his youth had still vehemently advocated the theory of marginal utility, turned to agricultural policy and history. His easy-to-read economics textbook, Grundzüge der Volkswirtschaftslehre, 1911, Main Features of Economics, is founded on the subjectivist theory of value. Julius Landesberger, 1865-1920, Habilitation, 1895. He completed his law studies at the University of Vienna in 1889 with a doctorate for which he received the highest distinction, sub auspices imperatoris. This was a rare honorary title, awarded when a doctor's degree was acquired with extraordinary distinction. Self-assured, he published his doctoral address right away, followed up by going into attorneyship, and over time published a number of articles on monetary and currency policy. After his Habilitation, Landesberger became a sought-after business attorney with expert knowledge in antitrust law. After being bestowed with the title von Antburg in 1906, he was appointed to the general counsel of the Anglo-Österreichische Bank, where he rose to the position of president. At the German Juristentag, a convention of lawyers of 1902, borrowing the English word concern, he coined the term Konzern, which in German is used to this day. Eugen Peter Schwedland, 1863-1936, Habilitation, 1895. Schwedland came from a scholarly Protestant family in Budapest and studied law in Vienna. After some years of having worked as a lawyer, he taught economics and economic policy at the Technologisches Gewerbemuseum from 1890 on, and eventually received his Habilitation from the University of Vienna. The Technologisches Gewerbemuseum was a well-known school for higher education, college, focused on the promotion of science and industry. In 1902, he was made an untenured professor at the university, and in 1904, a tenured professor at the Technische Hochschule. From 1908 to 1921, he functioned as a high-ranking advisor in the Ministry of Public Works and in the General Commission for War Economy and Transition Economy. In his easily readable textbooks, he described the subjectivist value theory as the psychological foundation of the economy. He kept his distance from Menger, both personally and intellectually. After the First World War, Schwitland shifted to a romantic organic economics. Siegmund Feilbogen, 1858-1928, Habilitation 1895. The son of a Moravian rabbi family, Siegmund Feilbogen completed his law degree in Vienna and in the early 1890s made a name for himself with several works on Adam Smith, Jacques Turgot, and David Hume. In 1895 he received his Habilitation from the University of Vienna and subsequently taught economics at the Viennese Export Akademie. Founded in 1898 in order to provide professional training to future businessmen, in the import and export business in particular, it became today's Vienna University of Economics and Business, the largest university focusing on business and economics in Europe, in terms of enrollment. Initially, Feilbogen also supported the Zionist movement. A peculiar story ended his career abruptly. On April 9, 1908, Feilbogen, along with his wife and sister-in-law, attended an Easter Mass celebrated by Pope Pius X in Rome. Witnesses apparently observed Feilbogen disposing of the consecrated host in a handkerchief. This incident became widely known. Feilbogen's assurances and avowals of respect for the Catholic Church fell on deaf ears in a Vienna turned noticeably anti-Semitic. He was subsequently dismissed from his position as teacher at the Export Akademie. Isolated and virtually ostracized, he continued to teach to the smallest of audiences at the University of Vienna. Rudolf Sieghardt, 1866-1934, Habilitation 1900. A rabbi's son from Troppau, present-day Opava, Czech Republic, Rudolf Sieghardt, with only one parent living, had to pay to study law in Vienna himself. In 1895 he converted to Catholicism, married the daughter of Karl Samuel Grünhut, 1844-1929, a professor for trade law at the University of Vienna, and joined the finance ministry. With his treatise on public gambling, the Öffentlichen Glücksspiele, 1899, Sieghardt earned his Habilitation and subsequently went into politics. As the closest associate of Prime Minister Körber, 1850-1919, he played a powerful and sometimes controversial role, particularly in regard to personnel decisions concerning top-level positions in the bureaucracy. In 1912, he became a member of the Herrenhaus and, as governor of the Bodenkreditanstalt, with its associated industrial concerns and newspapers, remained an influential leader in the business world, well on into the First Austrian Republic. Richard Schüller, 1870-1972, Habilitation 1903. Karl Menger's favorite pupil and last postdoctoral student, Richard Schüller, came from a Jewish family in Brünn. Because his parents' company had gone bankrupt, he had to pay for nearly all of his university education himself. With his first work, Die klassische Nationalökonomie und ihre Gegner, 1895, Classical Economics and Its Enemies, Schüller demonstrated once more the fighting spirit of the Methodenstreit. With Schutzzoll und Freihandel, 1905, Protective Tariff and Free Trade, he at last received his Habilitation and was thus the first of the Austrian school to venture into the terrain of foreign trade policy. As an untenured professor, he published two noteworthy contributions on workforce demand and on the employment market. After Menger's death, he supported the publication of the second edition of The Principles with a very personal foreword. Schüller made his career in the Ministry of Trade. He was promoted to the position of Sektionschef shortly before the abdication of Emperor Karl I. States and monarchs may be transient, but once obtained, the legal status of an Austrian civil servant is not. Schüller remained in this position until his retirement and contributed significantly to the foreign trade policy of the First Austrian Republic. He lectured at the University of Vienna up until 1928, and from 1930 to 1937 was co-publisher of the Zeitschrift für Nationalökonomie, Journal of Economics. Nevertheless, he distanced himself noticeably from the Austrian school. Schüller was forced to emigrate to the USA in 1940, where he continued teaching until 1952. Statisticians and economists of public finance. Menger routinely assisted with Habilitierungen in areas related to his field of expertise as with the commercial law specialist Karl Adler, 1865-1924, Habilitation in 1893. The public finance economist Gustav Zeidler, 1858-1933, Habilitation in 1883, and the statisticians and public finance economists Isidor Singer, 1857-1927, Habilitation in 1885, Ernst Mischler, 1857-1912, Habilitation 1885 in Prague, 1887 in Vienna, and Ignaz Gruber, 1842-1919, Habilitation in 1893. These practitioners and university lecturers had no direct influence on the teaching body of the Austrian school, but they shaped the intellectual milieu of the Austrian school inasmuch as they reinforced proximity to the state bureaucracy. Since each of his postdoctoral students was required to spend some years in actual administration, Menger himself had promoted institutional closeness between political economy and state bureaucracy. Students of Menger as contributors to professional journals. In the 1880s and 1890s, Karl Menger also brought people into his seminar who had graduated and were already employed and interested in economics. Many of them later played a part in disseminating the teachings of the Austrian school by publishing articles in professional journals. One of the most outstanding of these students was the Hungarian-born Julius Friedrich Ganz von Ludassy, 1858-1922, who, as editor of various papers, regularly reviewed economics books and himself wrote an impressive methodological work of over 1,000 pages called Die wirtschaftliche Energie, 1893, The Economic Energy. Noteworthy are his early criticisms of the mechanical image of Homo economicus and his conclusion that economics is the science of action. Ludwig von Mises, without ever referring to Ludassy explicitly, would further develop this action-oriented approach 5 decades later. Another professional editor from the milieu of Menger's circle was the native-born Czech Franz Kuhl, 1862-1914, who, like Ludassy, is largely forgotten today. The lawyer and Royal Imperial Government Counselor in Vienna constructed one of the first mechanical calculators and published an extensive work on needs in which he defined 29 categories of needs, with altogether 73 further subcategories. In his biography of Menger, Friedrich A. von Hayek identified a further group of Menger students. Only the following, however, as publishers of professional journals are mentioned here. Moritz Dupp, 1865-1928, who from 1891 was the editor for economics at the Neue Freie Presse. Richard Reich, 1866-1938, a finance lawyer with Habilitation, who in the First Austrian Republic was the president of the Austrian National Bank. Markus Ettinger, attorney for cartel, competition and economic administration law, and the first to predict the failure of any centrally planned economy on grounds that only the market price is a reliable regulator. Wilhelm Rosenberg, 1869-1923, lawyer and expert on banking and finance, who was credited with stabilizing the currency after the First World War. Hermann Schwarzwald, 1871-1939, highest-ranking civil servant in the Ministry of Finance and author of several articles on currency and economic policy, and Ernst Zeidler, 1862-1931, who applied the principle of marginal utility to the sentencing of criminals in a groundbreaking paper. As professor for public law, he tutored the heir to the throne, Karl, and in 1917 became minister and subsequently prime minister, or rather the last chairman of the monarch's cabinet. Others mentioned by Hayek either never published anything of significance, were no longer grounded in the Austrian school, or were successful as scientists in other areas, such as Christian Richard Turnwald, 1869-1954, who devoted himself to ethnology permanently.